It's so up and down. Very high highs, very low lows is what I think is New York.
Hey everyone, this is Kara Lee.
And this is Daniel.
And this is the Actor Hack Podcast.
Coming to you from Brooklyn, New York.
And today we have with us our friend Sarah. Hey Sarah, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
First, will you tell everyone what you do for work?
I work at Owen Demko, which is a PR firm that specializes in Broadway, mainly Broadway, off-Broadway theaters. We have some personal clients, organizations like the American Theater Wing. So yeah, I've been doing that all of my years here in New York.
And when did you move here?
4.5 years ago. It's 9/10/2011.
And did you know that you wanted to move to New York?
I had always thought about it, but no, it was kind of a spur of the moment thing.
And where were you living then?
I was in New Orleans. I graduated from LSU in December of 2009 and was in New Orleans for a year and a half. And one of my friends was here and said she needed a roommate. And I was at a weird place that I thought, I should just do this. And I did it.
And what were you doing in New Orleans at the time?
At that point, I was working in a restaurant. I was auditioning. I was doing a little of this and that.
So when you left college, was the idea to pursue acting?
Yeah. So, and I went to New Orleans because they do so many films there. So it just seemed like something that made sense. And I had an agent, and I auditioned for a lot of stuff, and wasn't successful with that and didn't enjoy that.
I was going to ask, so was it what you expected it to be when you started?
No. I mean, I think as soon as I got there, I did a play in the Fringe Festival, and that was so much fun. Auditioning for film, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't fun. I just couldn't get into it, and I obviously wasn't successful with it.
I mean, what did you think it was going to be?
I would go in for this certain things, and you would just have this one line. You'd go and sit and do it and leave, and it was fun in the beginning, and then I just didn't feel like acting. It didn't feel like fun anymore. It just felt like, just kind of took the pleasure out of what I loved so much, and I mean, I have so many friends there now who are so successful with and doing amazing. I didn't love working in the restaurant. I wasn't focused. I worked in an art gallery, and then I did post-production sound for film, and then I did just so many random things. Yeah, I was just
Did you enjoy the film work?
No, that's not really my... I mean, it was just sitting in front of a computer with headphones, and it was cool, though. I mean, I like doing different things, so yeah, but that ended up not being for me. I was just searching, trying to figure out, like, what I like.
Sounds like you were dabbling.
I was going to do a little of everything. And then I just hit a certain point that, I don't know, I just needed more stability. And the offer to, like, come here seemed like, you know what, there's got to be something there. I think it's time.
And so what was your plan when you came here? Were you...
So I didn't come here to pursue acting. My plan was, which my plan kind of worked out, which is crazy, was to get an internship, maybe a few, and then try to get a job.
How did you start that? How did you start looking for internships?
Oh, God. I applied to a million. I was temping at the time, so that was exciting. Was it?
And you were looking for these on, like, Playbill?
Everywhere, yeah. Playbill.
Did you ever find anything from New York Foundation for the Arts? Because they have interesting posts.
No, but they have amazing things.
Yeah.
That's a great resource people need to look into. That has amazing jobs, actually, all the time.
And that's, I mean, it's for a lot of different things, but a lot of what it's on there is art galleries, it's museums, it's archivists, like that
music,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
So when you were applying for internships, were there specific ones you were looking for, or was it just... Was it related to performing, related to the arts?
It was all related to the arts. So I think I was mainly applying to internships and casting, managers, anything having to do with theater. I decided I want to stick with theater. You know, maybe I think about acting at some point, but that's kind of what I was going to do.
And so what was the first one you got?
The first one I got is the job I have now.
Oh, okay.
Which was not my first interview, because in the beginning they were so terrible. I just didn't know anything about, even though I had a degree in theater, I knew a lot about theater, I didn't know anything about Broadway. I'd seen like 2 Broadway shows ever. And now it's so crazy because I think of when we're interviewing our interns now, they know everything. I was such a joke. I remember I was at an interview at a casting office. And they were just like, who's your favorite Broadway actress? I, like, didn't even know, like, who a Broadway actress was. I said, Sutton Foster. He's like, what do you like about her? And I have no idea what I said. I didn't even know who she was. Like, I looked it up. It's like, right, Sutton, like, Foster.
She's
that's
a talented
human
lady.
On Broadway.
She's the one. Like,
yeah, well, you're, because you're actually, just knowing you, you're so different from a lot of people who end up working in this industry, because I think a lot of us were stage door
totally
dorks, and we totally were like, oh, what's happening on Broadway? And
yeah,
like,
not I.
No.
So I went through like some terrible ones here. And then I finally interviewed for this internship at Owen Demko. I think after all of those shitty ones, I finally just was myself. It was great. And I'm there and still working with one of the girls that interviewed me. My internship, I guess, was 6 months. And then I was hired temporarily through the Tony Awards. And then I was hired. And so that's been 4 years or so that I've been there. Just crazy.
Yeah, I think sometimes, even though it can seem pressing, I had a few interviews like that where they were all kind of shitty.
Yeah.
And you just have to reach the point where you're like, this is who I am.
Exactly.
Like, if you're going to hire me or you're not. And totally. I think that's the best interview that you give then.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, I was just making things up and lying. Not lying, but like,
yeah.
Oh, I like this kind of stuff. And I didn't. So finally, I get to this one and I was like, this is me. This is what I can do. I know I can do this job. Like, I want to be here.
Yeah.
I'm good at this, this, and this. Like, this is why you should hire me, instead of trying to, like, impress them.
Yeah.
And I had just seen the musical Hair,
mm-hmm.
and I was so in love with, what was his name?
Steel.
Steel Burkhart. And they represented Hair.
Oh, right.
Which may have been why I wanted to interview there. So thank you, Steel, for giving me my job. Which I didn't know in the interview, the two girls interviewing me, they were the account managers, the executives for Hair. So they were like, what have you seen lately? And I was like, Hair? And they're like, that's our show. And I was like, oh my god, I'm obsessed with Hair. And that was a real
a real connection.
A real
yeah.
connection. And not
you guys
a lie.
Did a great job. You should hire me.
Yeah. I appreciate your work. Yeah.
Oh, it was like just ending, so of course I like never got to meet Steel, but we've met a lot of other people
oh,
over
right.
the years.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
When you got here, was there any part of you that thought, okay, I'm gonna pursue a job that has stability, but then I also wanna create stuff on the side?
Absolutely, which I mean, moving to New York is so insane. Just a rough time getting here and trying to figure things out, and especially coming from Louisiana, where this was so laid back and, I don't know, so much more easygoing. And then starting this internship, which it wasn't paid a lot, so I bartended at night at Broadway theaters, specifically American Airlines Theater. Terrible and fun. So it was just
that's
working.
The general consensus, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Terrible but fun and work.
Everyone I met was lovely. I'm still, I mean, I've done, you know, like a short film with a girl I worked with there. Like, I've made a lot of great connections in theater there and have done shows with people for pleasure, and so.
Yeah, because 90% of the people working at those things are
totally.
Creative people,
totally.
So.
And, you know, you're just working 10 to 6, an internship. I'd leave 5 minutes early, go to the theater, and bartend to like 11 at least 4 weekdays. That's how it went. Then to the theater on weekends. So after that goes on for months and months, you're exhausted, and so then you really start feeling like, oh, I would love to do something creative. Like,
yeah.
I definitely need an outlet. And so I definitely, yeah, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I think right when I got here, I was in a reading.
How
yeah.
long did you keep that up?
Oh my god,
through the internship, the 6 months
into being hired, just mm-hmm. because it's, mm-hmm. you know, entry level salary, it's expensive here.
Yeah, so you
so
stayed on at the
really
theaters for a while.
Long time.
Yeah, do it while you're young, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting, especially now working in this industry. You know, New York is the place in the country for theater. It is still such a small community, and it's really hard to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say my office, we have around like 15 people. More than half were interns who were mm-hmm. hired. But it's so hard to get into without doing an internship.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know how people do.
I don't. And especially, you know, with our interns when they're ready to go and they ask for recommendations. And we can call people up. I mean, we work with, you know, Broadway Marketing, the other PR firms, like management firms. So we can call up and be like, oh, we recommend this person. That's how they get their next thing. It's so hard to break into it. You just have to get in when you can.
And like, as silly as it seemed, and like pay your dues, you know.
Totally.
I know that you write. So how did that start? I mean, did you write in school or did you come up here and then it started?
Well, I've always written things, but never like an actual
play or a novel
or
you're like, I write things down, but
thoughts. I like to journal. I'd always wanted to write more, but I just.
So what made you think, hey, I want to write a play today?
I don't even know. Do you remember?
I'm trying to think.
Why did I want to? I think I just. See, I'm not good at sitting down every day and being like, okay, I'm going to work on this play. If something hits me, an idea, then I can just spend like 4 hours like writing. So I think I just was kind of thinking about it. And some of my friends here were like exploring it and starting to write things. And I think I just had like a little idea and then wrote my first one. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is awesome.
It's so right, much it's fun to do this.
It's really fun to do this. All of my plays are, I feel like, pretty much the same. It's just, I like writing about relationships.
And then from there, since it was a good experience, where was your head out? Were you like, oh, I just want to keep doing this at festivals, I want to take it to the next level, or that was, I don't know, where was your head at? Can you remember?
I think I was just so excited it went well, and the process was so fun, that, no, I didn't really think about going to a next level. Now I think more about that. I just kind of want to, like, do it again. I wrote something recently I was thinking about what I wanted to do with it.
And so just for people who don't live here or even people who live here and just wouldn't know this information, so you as a creative person, when you have something that you're like, oh, I have an idea, I've either written it or I have a strong idea, where do you go? You're saying, I'm trying to think of what I want to do with it, then what do? Like, what's that next step? Do you talk to friends? Do you submit for festivals? Like, what is your process
on
that?
I go to my friends. I like to talk it out. Luckily, I have so many creative friends here doing so many different things, whether acting or directing or writing or designing. That it's so easy. That's always my first thought. Like, hey, who can I talk to about this? And it's so crazy here when you like get into a community like this, how easy, not I wouldn't say easy, but you know, if we want to talk about an idea, within an hour we have a brilliant idea. Why don't we do this? Why don't we try this? I think, yeah, I like to talk to people and try to be open to like what could happen.
And that's an important idea. Like, it, you know, you're not a full-time writer. I mean, being a playwright or being a full-time writer is an incredible discipline.
Totally.
And it takes up your entire life. I don't know how people do that.
I don't know how people do that either.
But it's that doesn't mean that you can't write a play and put it on.
Right, and people will see it.
And
you know?
Yeah, you can get your friends and your people and their friends and blah, 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 to come and hang out and watch a play that you've written. You can have an outlet. You don't have to be on Broadway.
That was the main feeling after my first one. I was like, oh, I can do this. This is what I'm going to give. And then people act in it and direct it. And like, it creates art for everyone, something for everyone to do, and that's really exciting. And especially, you know, when you're working all the time and the stress of just being here, that's a really good place to be and much needed.
And we all do theater on the side, you know, just for fun and for fun and for fulfillment. And it's incredibly hard with your day schedule give that extra time to something. But it's so worth it, and it's so fun, and it's so like you describe it as easy, but it's not easy. I mean, it takes so much time and energy, and sometimes your own money to do. But it's so worth it.
It is worth it.
Going back to your day job. Tell me your title again. Because I know you are not a press agent.
No.
But you work
we all would be called that because we all, you know, do a little bit of everything. I assist my boss a lot. The editor of our weekly newsletter.
Tell me what that is?
It's called the Season Weekly. It's really cool.
And
I can send it to you today.
I'd love to see it.
It's just a weekly newsletter of all of our press, our best press that we have for our clients that week. Preview of this week's, which will go out today. On the cover, for example, example, will be Michael Flatley of Lord of the Dance on the Today Show.
Oh, well, that's fun.
So on the cover, you see a picture of all of his dancers on the Today Show, and at the end, they all rip their shirts off. That's on the cover. Also,
do you guys? So would you guys? Let's use that as an example. Would you guys book that for him, and then
so that's
coordinate
that's
all
what,
the press about it and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's so you'll book someone on the Today Show.
And what is he? What is he pitching right now? Is
Michael Flatley. He's on Broadway. And
Lord of the Dance is on Broadway
I know nothing about Broadway, so forgive my ignorance. If you didn't know what was happening, then you're not alone, because
it's crazy. He can tap like 50 times a second.
So he's doing a show on Broadway right now. Okay.
How old is he?
I don't know, but he's good. Still, I don't know how he's doing it.
Who gets the season weekly?
Our newsletter goes out to industry contacts, clients, probably around 1,000 people in the industry.
And that's just to kind of keep all of your shows like on everyone's radar.
Here it
still
is. Here's what we've done this week. I think other things, like on the cover, we have the stars of King Charles III on the Leonard Lopate show, which is so interesting, a radio show. So yeah, just so people can go through this thing and click and listen and just kind of see it all in one place. And we have fun things, questionnaires, and
that's
really
cool.
Fun. So depends on the season and depends on what's going on. Right now, this week I covered a lot of things with clients. I mean, anytime we have our clients do something, you know, press related, we need to be there. So if they have an interview, we need to be there, you know. So
and what do you do when you're there? Like, is it just
introducing them, making sure it goes well, making sure everything's fine. Just being there for support. With each thing, it's different.
It's got to be crazy as a client. Be like, okay, do I just show up at this event? Like, I wouldn't know what to do.
This is what time you go. This is when you do it. This is my cell phone number. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like you guys are also always, like, producing events.
We do a lot of events. So the press offices also are responsible for things having to do with opening night, so the red carpet, photographers, the camera crews, all of that. Generally, the after party, making sure people, getting their picture taken, talking, you know, just generating more press and kind of handling that event. So we do stuff like that too. Yeah.
When Tony season approaches, what mainly are you doing? Because I know you, one of the fanciest things that I think you do is do the Tony after party, which I think is really fucking cool. So can you talk about that?
So my office does this incredible after party for the Tonys at the Carlisle Hotel every year. This is such an incredible event that starts late night after the Tonys. Get everyone there in the suite and the bar and just have a grand party. And hopefully every year we have winners.
So that's
what
we have. So, yeah, it's always really amazing.
So I was going to ask, so that's where a lot of the like winners or nominees or just people who have been involved in the season will come.
Yeah, we've been lucky past few years of having big winners. So it's a good time to get our cast there to celebrate, party for them. So
the 12-year-old version of myself, if she was in that room, she would be dead. Because she would be so overwhelmed.
She would freak the fuck out.
I would be rendered speechless.
I know.
I mean, that's pretty swank.
Yeah. This past year, there was a problem with the elevators. So everyone was stuck in the lobby. There's so many Tony Awards in the lobby. It was crazy. It was so insane.
That is so insane.
I was like, fix it. I was like, I do not know how to fix it.
The Carlisle management was just having a ball.
Oh, God.
Right, you're like, I'm not an elevator repair.
I'm running out trying to fix it with a glass of wine in my hand. And I was like, they all seem fine.
Whatever it is, say it's a Broadway show, there's bubbles of, like, entourage, you know? There's, like, there's the cast, and then there's the production team, and then there's the theater that they're renting, and all of their staff, and all of their PR people, and then there's the show's PR people, and then there's the management of each of these individuals that, you know, it's like, it goes wider and wider and wider net until we've got our Carlisle lobby full of people.
Pretty much our work year gets to the Tonys, and then we have a tiny break.
So that's basically, like, the ultimate event, and then...
Right. Yeah.
And so that's why you were hired as an intern, or when you were hired as an intern.
Yeah, so when I was temporarily hired, it was January, to see how it would work out, because we start really revving up in the spring to do that, and need a lot of help. A lot of stuff is going on. A lot of things go into those Tony campaigns, and...
If you could tell your 23-year-old, like however old you were, if you could tell yourself something then that you know now?
I would tell myself to be so much more confident. I was just so unsure of myself, and with the interviews and just so many things going on, I just didn't really ask for what I wanted. And,
you know, being an adult and working for a business, you're never going to get anything that you don't ask for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your boss, at a certain point, respects you for asking for it.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you know, it took a while for me to write a play, stuff like that. That it's just, you have to try things and put yourself out there and get out of your comfort zone. Because after I did it, I was like, oh, wow, why weren't you doing this for years?
Mm-hmm.
You could be at a different place with this. You've always wanted to. You just didn't try because you didn't know you had it in you. You know, directed once I got here. And that was my favorite class in college. But I don't know. I didn't want to try, scared to try it, so I never actually directed a show.
Right.
Until here, then I was like, oh, I love this. So I think if I could go back, I would start early on just throwing myself into things, trying new things. And
nobody knows what they're doing. Just
no.
Go for it.
And no, yeah, that's it, exactly. Too. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone's just showing up. You just have to show up. You have to make the decision for yourself to come up here.
I think you have to be excited to live here or have wanted to live here, because I can't imagine. You have to be ready to put up with a lot of shit. And if you didn't really want to be here in the first place, you're going to last about 2 seconds and be like, you know what? It's easier to live almost anywhere else.
Definitely.
And so, it's a lot easier to move here when you're young. You know, we've had some friends that lived in Chicago for a while and then tried to transition over to New York. And they're like, what do you do? Like,
you guys are crazy. Why do you live
crazy?
Here?
It's a lot harder to live here. Especially compared to Chicago, it's a lot harder to find artistically fulfilling quality work. And why are y'all doing this? And they've all since moved back. And I've discussed it with them, like, you learn how to be an adult when you're in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you learn how to be an adult in Chicago and then you move to New York, it's a very different experience.
Because I've always thought that, I'm like, well, if I ever would move out of New York, which I don't think I would, but at least I've trained my body to be at a certain level, and almost everywhere else will be a little bit easier to deal with.
Right.
Absolutely. But I notice when I leave now and go back home, and I love Louisiana and I love being home, not until you step out of this place and go somewhere else do you realize how here it's just, you're overstimulated. People, things, mm-hmm. all the time that you go somewhere else and it's, I wouldn't say boring, but it's kind of,
I would say that,
what?
Yeah. Like when things were closed on Sundays, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Seriously though.
So are you writing anything right now?
I am writing something right now. I haven't finished it. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It's just, it's a short play, two people, guy and girl, and I have ideas for the roles, friends that I kind of would like to do it. I need to finish it and really think about it and think if I want to submit it to things or if I just want to do it or,
there are definitely,
you know,
pros and cons to that. I mean, I feel like when you rally up your friends to do it and you're so into it, it's great, because I feel like a lot of the times,
do you just take it and submit it to like the same one to like a bunch of things?
Yeah.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah. I mean, there's, like I was going to say, it's pros and cons. There's something really wonderful about submitting your work and then someone does like the rest of it and
totally.
You don't have to worry about it. But then
that's
also,
so
if you're
nice.
A control freak, it's like, oh, wait, hold on. I want
it
like
that.
So then that's, I would say, yeah, if you're like, I just want to let this go and see what someone does with it, then I would submit it to a shit ton of festivals because there's so many. But if you're like, I have a very specific way of how I want this to go, then I think you have to self-produce it.
There's like a main listing source for play submissions, right?
What is that?
See, and that's the thing, is that there's a great blog, which I'll have to find, which is free and it's great. Then there's this other thing I follow on Facebook. You have to pay for it, which I'm not 100% behind. I mean, it's not a bunch of money, but
it's
still like, this information should be free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We try to, on the website, keep at least an updated list of companies that do festivals, so you could from there
kind
go and see. And then Playbill is pretty good about putting that up there.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good resource.
Yeah. But, you know, and then also something to consider, I mean, being a playwright in New York, it doesn't mean that that's the only place that you need to submit your work. That's where it comes in handy. I can't even think of this service, and I probably shouldn't say it since I'm kind of shit-talking it. But it's basically just like a paid find out where submitting. And there's stuff all over the country. that things can add up. Like, there might be a theater in the middle of nowhere that does the world premiere of your play and might pay you a little money. So when submitting, people should expand.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like as a playwright, if I were a playwright myself, I would want it to be done all over the country.
Yeah.
And you've had your work done at a festival in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Which was like one of the best experiences, if not the best experience as a writer. And I think also because it's so condensed and there's so many new works happening here, there's something really cool about going away and being like, there's really not a whole lot of new theater in this place.
Right.
Right.
And so I get to be one of the writers that's doing this.
They probably have a regional theater or like a community theater that's doing some Shakespeare and some Noel Coward, and then
right.
somebody's taking a chance on Carrie Lee.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
One of the tough things about self-producing here is that I feel like for a long time it would be emailing all my friends to be like, please come see my play.
Right. I know. Here, you literally are hit with new works every second.
Yeah, something being a new work is not special.
Not here.
No. Not in New York.
Literally.
No. And it's so hard to... And, that, you know, I sympathize with all these theater companies that have a hard time selling new work because... Myself, I'm like, is this going to be any good? Like,
right?
Yeah.
Have I seen
so
any
much.
Of their work before? Have I seen any of these actors? Do I know any of these producers?
Totally.
No. Like,
right.
And a lot of times they aren't getting press, so there's no outside reviews or resources to gauge
reading
this
anything
work.
That makes you want to go. So
if someone wants to self-produce, or they've just written a play and they're like, I really want to see this realized. I don't know. I know at my level, at this point, I'm like, if I'm going to self-produce it, I have to just be happy that it happened. And
yeah.
I can't be, like, begging people to come to it or expect a million people to see it.
Right.
It just needs to be something that I will look back and say, I'm really happy that was done and not that all these people saw
that.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like that can't happen. And
right.
But I think, and people do get really creative with marketing and... they do rally the troops and get people out to see these new works.
Yeah, and I've seen some amazing stuff.
And you talked about doing the New Orleans Fringe Festival. I mean, how was
that?
I was
in a show there. That was great.
And do you remember...
But they have a great community there. Really talented people, and that was a fun experience.
Do you remember if they selected by lottery, or did they have a...
I really don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know what New Orleans Fringe does.
Yeah, because... Yes. So the New York City Fringe Festival is... humongous, and it has only gotten bigger, and I participated in 2008, but it's so huge, and they do a really good job of giving each show its due, but it's just so much to see, and they have a board that selects all of their work. All the work that they're going to present.
How many do they do?
Hundreds,
I've
right?
300 shows,
some,
maybe?
Yeah, they're just a million.
It's so much. But Chicago has a fringe as well. And I think Chicago is by lottery. And so some cities do it by lottery where they randomly select them. And so it's really sort of a crapshoot as to what you're getting. And New York City Fringe, maybe they wouldn't like me saying this, but they have a particular vision. And so they have the type of work that they tend to produce. And so in other cities, it can be really a wide spectrum of work.
Yeah.
And you're actually, because a lot of the people that I've spoken to who have done Fringe have mixed to negative feelings. And you're actually one of the few people who I've spoken to who has positive feelings about the Fringe.
Our experience here was really good.
What was the show?
We reprised a show that we created in college called Aerial View, which is based on found work by and about Sylvia Plath, which is totally the kind of work that Fringe is totally into.
That's
so
very on the Fringe.
We were new and we were young, and they took a chance on us, and we had an amazing venue, and we had an amazing venue director.
The venue?
It was at the theater that's on Bleecker.
That's cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
The basement one with the columns, which was gorgeous and perfect for us, and very similar to the theater that we used in college. But the whole Fringe experience, I think, is dependent upon how cool your venue director is. That's your liaison with everything, that makes everything happen. That's your stage manager, that's your production manager for the venue. And so ours was really cool, like she worked really well with our designers, she gave us a little extra storage space, you know, like she really, really helped us out, and I'm eternally grateful for that. And we got great reviews for our show, it was well received for the 5 people that liked it. They were very vocal about how they liked it. Yeah, we had a really good time. But I can see how people did not have a good time, because it is a festival. They are squeezing 7 shows into one venue, and they're very different shows that require very different things, and you all have to work together to make it work. But that's the pain of a festival in general. Like a community light plot and limited storage is the way of the gun.
Oof. That just made me tired. Even sets. And did you get what you wanted out of that experience?
Totally, yeah. I mean, we got to restage a show that was a very mature and complex show for us that we'd create in college, so we got to take another stab at it. At the time, we were sort of trying to build a press base and a reputation base to launch our company, which never happened.
Why do you think that didn't happen?
I think it didn't happen because everyone wasn't on board with actually putting in the work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we started official paperwork and such, and I found that not everybody was on board, and a lot of the people that were involved in the company moved on to do other projects that they were more devoted to. So
yeah, you need everyone on board with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or else it all falls to one person. And
like, I really had a vision of starting our own company, creating work that way, and I don't think everybody else was on board with that, which is fine, but so it didn't work out.
Sarah, we do this thing at the end of every episode. We each give a hack each week.
So my hack for the week, and it's something that it's been a running theme of this podcast, is do it while you're young.
I wish everyone could see Daniel now.
Oh my god, it's so true.
The hand is up. Do it while you're young. Do it while you have the energy. And I work with a lot of young people that are new to the city, and they're doing like 3 internships while they're working at this restaurant. And do it now.
You're not gonna want to do it. I would leave immediately.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. Yeah. I don't want to. Even if I knew I'd get to this place again, I'm not. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
That's a good one. I love it.
Yeah.
Mine is to keep promises to yourself. But I read something somewhere that said keeping promises to yourself is good for your self-esteem. And I actually totally think that's, I mean, even just, I'm going to do this workout class, and then you do it. And then the alternative is like, I'm going to do this workout class, or I'm going to take this acting class, or I'm going to do this, and then you don't do it. It just gets you deeper and deeper into a hole, and you become less likely to keep moving forward.
That's exactly.
So it's like,
It's positive reinforcement.
Like, and once you do it, you will keep doing it. It is something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just very like basic promises that you make to yourself, keep them.
I think mine is just asking for what you want. No one gives you anything for free. You're not handed opportunities. You're not, you know, nice things happen. But in general, you have to ask for the job you want. You have to ask for a raise. If you want to work with someone, you have to talk to them. I want to be in your short film. Can I direct this? I want to do this. You have to just be vocal about what you want, because it's so easy here to just kind of, there's so many people, and just be under this crowd and not have your voice heard. It wouldn't have happened for me unless I said, okay, well, I need to leave 10 minutes early to go to this other job, and that's how I can do this internship. You just have to be vocal about what you need, or you're not going to get what you need.
Yeah, and that absolutely.
This, just to have stability here and not feel like you're just being taken
It's okay if you don't get it, but you have to ask for it.
Yeah,
you have to do yourself that service.
Totally.
Thank you, Sarah, for being here.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
And you guys have been listening to All That Glitters by Sweet Soubrette from the album Days and Nights. And if you could all subscribe to us, that would be great.
If you could like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram, or send us an email at afterhackpodcast@gmail.com.
And I think that's all you have to do.
Thank you very much. Do it while you're young.
Do it while you're young. If anything, my mother will listen to it.